Finance expert Rachel Springall from moneyfacts.co.uk joined us now for our 10:30 Money News Review. Good morning to you, Rachel.
Good morning.
I've got two questions now. Which Harry Potter character would you be?
Probably Hermione.
I thought you'd say Hermione. I thought you'd be Hermione. I would have said Hermione anyway. And what's the hardest interview question you've been asked?
I got asked one once and it was a bit odd because it threw me off. They said, what inspirational person do you look up to who was around from this area? And the area was Norfolk, and the first person I could think of was Stephen Fry.
Oh.
And then they started asking me loads of trivia about Stephen Fry.
Goodness me, that's a tough one, isn't it?
Yeah, it threw me off a bit. Because I thought this was an interview about a job and me, not about some other person that I then had to remember all the facts about them on.
Well, that's quite a hard question to answer anyway, but to sort of regionalise it to Norfolk.
Yeah, because I was applying for a job in the area, so they said in Norfolk.
I thought you might, that'd be very strange if you were. Yeah, you're applying for a job in Middlesbrough and it's like, what do you think of Norfolk?
Exactly.
That's amazing. Okay, well, we're going to be talking about other things than that, although we can continue to go on about that if you like, but I think we're going to be talking instead about, I mean, this is quite an interesting story coming out today in The Independent and indeed many other papers this morning, just a major mismatch in what men and women get in employer pension contributions could mean that women face a shortfall of up to £47,000 by the end of their working lives, it says here. Now, Zurich looked over a quarter of a million of their personal plans between 2013 and 16, and they found that last year, on average, men under the age of 35 received £217 more in contributions than women of the same age. So you're going to have to break this down for us. What was Zurich specifically looking at and what did they find?
So they were specifically looking at contributions and also the salary. So apparently men are earning more than women. Women are having career breaks. They're potentially working part-time, having several jobs. And all of these things affect the amount of money that not just they can put away, but also that their employer will contribute as well.
And that's what is adding up to £47,000 shortfall at the end of their working lives. Is there anyone, I mean, to blame here? What an awful question to ask. But you see what I mean? Is anything that we can be doing about this? Is it because we were listening a little bit earlier and people were suggesting that women are 40% less likely to receive promotions, especially in management positions?
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, I mean, I think those stats are fairly true to be reflected on the usual jobs, isn't it, really? But yes, you've got to obviously appreciate that a lot of women are shut out of the opportunity to get promotions. A lot of women work several part-time jobs. Some have the career gaps to have children, have longer maternity leave. So all these things do add up. And again, smaller salaries mean less provisions for the future, and career breaks have a huge effect on the amount of money they can put away.
Has that got worse recently? Because we do have shared parental leave. Shouldn't that be helping out?
Yeah, I mean, all these little things should be helping add up, but I think it's because it's the longer term view and it's the longer term salary difference. So again, the auto enrollment programme should help, but it's supposed to be reviewed by the DWP, so clearly there's issues going on.
Yeah,
they're going to assess how things can be improved, and they're going to focus on those people who work multiple jobs and how they can help them.
And also Citizens Advice saying tens of thousands of women are missing out on workplace pensions as a result of what you just said. They're having more than one job, because is it right that you have to earn at least £10,000 a year, and more than 100,000 people, mostly women, are not actually reaching that level?
Yeah, they have a shortfall because they're not meeting that, again, because of part-time, or they've just not got the hours to reach that amount of money, or again, men are earning more money and they're having that shortfall.
We really can't ignore this figure. I mean, it's almost £50,000 by the end of their working lives. You know, we are living longer and all that sort of thing. So we're going to need our money to go a little bit further anyway when we're in retirement. So what can we do now?
I guess anyone who's worried about their pensions, I mean, it's never too early to have a look. Have a look at your pension. Go and speak to an advisor and have a see how much exactly you are putting away for your future. You'll probably be quite shocked by the amount of money that you're expecting that you're not going to be getting. So if you can double up the amount you're putting away, that's great. But again, if people want to save money outside of their pension and have access to it, they're maybe less likely to put their money into their pension, because once it's in there and they can't get it until they retire. So a lot of people may be providing themselves with a provision fund in a savings account instead of actually putting their money into their pension, which again there'll be a shortfall when they do retire.
Which is one of the joys of a pension, is that you can't take your money out. And I do have to say, Rachel, I see your beautiful face in many papers on many days talking about savings rates going down and down and down and down. So that doesn't seem to be a sensible idea. Where do we go there?
I think a lot of women as well, if they're having the part-time work and, you know, they're having career breaks, they want to have a provision fund available to them, and they want to have that money available. They want to be able to take it out and put it in when they need it, and so they kind of neglect the pension as well. So I mean, yes, there's the salary issues, but there's also the fact that they might be prioritizing their money to something else.
Just a word when it comes to things like auto enrollment and pension, the amount that you can save into the auto enrollment is just simply not enough. Should you be going in your own and just upping it if you can?
Yes, most definitely. Yeah, if you have got a scheme, that's great. And again, an employer contribution can sometimes match or even be double the amount you're putting in, which is fantastic. But yeah, if you're not happy, you should really be having your own pension plan, and again, have your own goals.
Fantastic advice there. I'm going to ask you, well, we got the ruling this morning, so we're going to move on from that, if that's all right. In many of the papers this morning, was the fact that the government were at the Supreme Court today to find out if their rules over British citizens bringing their foreign partners into the UK and how much income they must have was legal or not. And actually, the Supreme Court at around about 10 o'clock decided, yes, the policy is OK. It does not breach human rights legislation. And you can have a minimum level of income before spouses can join them. Unpick this for us, if you would.
Yes, so it has been ruled that it's lawful in principle, but clearly a lot of people aren't going to be very happy. There's a lot of younger people as well who have lower salaries, and they're now going to basically be separated from their spouses if their visas run out and they have to return to work. I think there was a story on the BBC about an American guy, and he is now going to have to be deported back to America. He can't stay with his British other half because their income level for her is too low. And so now they're basically going to be split up over this, which, again, is hugely disappointing for them. It's going to be quite difficult and very stressful.
Yeah. Just explain to us a little bit more about the background of it. How much do you have to earn? I mean, it seems extraordinary.
Yes, so they need to earn more than £18,600 before their spouse can come across and settle in the UK. And again, this is a law that has been around for a while now, but the families do feel that it breaches their right to family life. They suffer from the separation, but clearly this law is now being upheld for the moment, at least. But it was originally designed to stop foreign spouses becoming reliant on taxpayers. So again, it's another way of trying to make sure that they don't come across here and rely on us to keep them in the country.
But what if you're a very wealthy lady or gentleman and your partner doesn't work? I mean, perhaps they look after the children, as is plausible to do here in this country.
Yeah, no, that is completely plausible. Yeah, but yeah, this law is about they must earn more than £18,600 before they come across. And again, even if they're both earning, if that one person's not earning enough, then they'll frown upon them and they will just say to them, go back.
Well, the figure of 15,000, I mean, critics are claiming 15,000 children separated from their parents because of it. I mean, if you look into more detail, it isn't just about bringing over a husband. This could impact on children as well.
Exactly. Yeah, it does. Yes, because they have a period between having happy families. And then once that period runs out, they just see it in the law to separate them again. And that's the thing. A lot of these people are literally a number. So they're not really families to the law, unfortunately.
At the Supreme Court, the highest court in the land, so there's no chance of appeal, is that right?
Yeah, I don't think that there will be. I mean, again, they could review the amount because it was as of 2012. We have to appreciate now we're in 2017. So, you know, it has been 5 years, so we could relook at it. We could relook at the amount that they need to earn, but it's surprising that the amount hasn't actually increased even further. So I wouldn't be too surprised if it does go up.
Rachel Springer from moneyfacts.co.uk.
Share Radio.
This is a live update for UK businesses. Right now, the world demands quality goods and services that UK businesses can supply. From technology to the USA, education to Hong Kong, or offshore wind equipment to France. For help and support meeting this global opportunity, search Exporting is Great.
Join us on the first Thursday of each month at 10 o'clock for Your Money, Your Rights on Share Radio Morning, brought to you by Equifax. Last time,
3.6 million people last year were victims of cybercrime, so it is an issue. And I think some of the sort of research that we've done in the last year has shown it's not forefront of their mind.
Tune in next month or listen again on our Share Radio app or our Audio Boom channel. Equifax, part of Share Radio Morning.
10:47, let's take a look at the headlines, shall we? The Supreme Court has dismissed a legal challenge over British citizens bringing their foreign partners into the UK. It's claimed women could be £47,000 worse off than men by the end of their working lives. Lloyds Banking Group has seen its annual pre-tax profits more than double, and there's a warning about a new scam targeting people who are looking for help with their printers. And the weather, I'm afraid, over the next few days, it'll be wet and very windy.
Sharing ideas about money, making the pound in your pocket go a little bit further. Share Radio Morning with Georgie Frost.
A very good morning. Welcome if you've just joined us. This is Share Radio Morning. I'm Georgie Frost, here to make the pound in your pocket go a little bit further. And I'm joined for our money news review by Rachel Springle, personal finance expert at moneyfacts.co.uk. And coming up, we'll be taking a look at the latest scam doing the round that you need to watch out for. But first, an important week for banking results. Yesterday, it was bad news, wasn't it, for HSBC, blaming unexpected economic and political events, they say, for a fall in annual profits of more than 60%. But no such problem for Lloyds this morning, reporting its highest profit in a decade. It's been boosted by less money needing to be put aside for PPI claims. Yes, that train rumbles on, though not as quickly. Last year, that figure was £1 billion. So, Rachel, firstly, in terms of Lloyds this morning, why is it particularly significant for us, these figures?
Well, it's significant for us because there's a lot of people out there would assume that the PPI scandal is going to continue forever and they're going to have forever to claim back. But unfortunately, that's not always going to be the case. The FCA have actually proposed a deadline to make claims, and that might be in 2 years' time. So as the years roll on, the difference in the amount of money that the banks are going to keep away for obviously having a provision for people with PPI claims is going to go down.
Just to be clear, though, this is just a proposal for bringing in that deadline.
Yes, it's just a proposal, but there is a few talks about it. I think they said about June 2019, but it may be pushed back.
It does feel like it's been going on for a very long time, and it has weighed very heavily on banks. And some people might say, well, you know, just desserts and all that, but it hasn't been great for the banking system, which in turn is not great for us.
Yes, I mean, it's very much a case of trust, isn't it? A lot of people have lost the trust in the banks. There is a lot of these PPI add-ons that people had that they didn't realise or they weren't eligible. And from that, they are obviously claiming back the premiums that they paid. And they're not happy about it at all. The customers feel they've been mistreated. They feel like they should have had this money in the first place, and they shouldn't be having to have this all go around and take so long to get it back.
Mm. I mean, just to give some context, Lloyds paid £1 billion in PPI provisions in 2016, £4 billion in 2015. What else are we hearing about Lloyds as well this morning?
Well, Lloyds this morning, so obviously they're saying about the profits, they're saying about the PPI. They're quite positive at the moment, really. They're saying the fact that they've actually returned almost £17 billion back to customers. So they've very much been up there ready to give the money back to the consumer, which is a good thing. And again, they seem quite positive. They're saying about the future of leaving the European Union, and they're having to revisit currently what they're doing in the terms of banking, but yeah, they seem to be happy about the recovery in the UK overall. So they are looking at the overall UK economy at the moment, not just their own profits, which is a good thing. They need to keep an eye on everything, really.
Yeah. Now, as I said, it was banking season, reporting season. Not as big as Lloyds, but Metro Bank also seemed to be doing rather well. They're one of the newer entrants into the industry. You might have seen their rather modern-looking bank branches, but at least they have them, I think is what some people will say. How have they done?
Yeah, no, they've done quite well. I mean, it's great for Metrobank, really. They've gone from strength to strength. People are turning to them now instead of the traditional high street banks. Their branches are fantastic. They've got really good customer service. I mean, personally, I've been to a bank branch in London and they were wonderful. And, you know, you see their customers go in for the day to day, but they kind of go away with more, if that makes sense. So, yeah, they're treating people really well and they can only really go from strength to here, really.
Well, I just love this comment from Vernon Hill, who's the chairman and founder of Metro. He says the response of the British public to Metro Bank has exceeded our expectations. Our goal is to create a legendary, emotional brand by creating fans, that's in capital letters, by the way, who join our brand, remain loyal and bring their friends. I'm confident this is the beginning. The best is yet to come. Quite a rousing statement, that. Well done,
Tim. It does sound very much like Metro Bank, though, but they're really positive about the brand and they want people to not just respect it as a bank, but also enjoy the visit to the branches and having the good service. And again, you can find that with the customers you talk to on the day-to-day. If they've come from a bank where they have bad service, they will just, you know, that's a great thing, really, isn't it? Service is a massive, massive pull.
Right, I'm going to move you over, if that's all right. On the BBC this morning, something we were talking about on the show yesterday, and that is airline compensation. Now, Rachel, five airlines that fly into Europe have been told they must pay up for delays. They are American, Etihad, Emirates, Singapore and Turkish Airlines. They will have to obey European laws, they've been told, or taken to court. Now, this is after they told the Civil Aviation Authority that they didn't hand out compensation when their delays meant that passengers missed a connecting flight. What are the current laws and what are these five airlines not doing right?
Yes, so the current laws at the moment are fairly simplistic, but the problem is it's the customers that aren't getting the full benefits of them. And the changes to the new law should bring more positive things to customers. There should be clearer policies on consumer rights and how much they are entitled to depending on the delay. So I think, again, it's a case of customers kind of being, you know, fobbed off so that they can't actually claim back. And some people would just give up in general, really, wouldn't they?
Well, yes, absolutely. Absolutely, they do. Okay, so what's going to happen now?
Okay, so ideally, it should improve the process and customers should be treated more fairly. So at the moment, you've got a split between short-haul flights, medium-haul flights and long-haul flights. And it's clearly now saying how many euros that you'll be entitled to and for how long delay. So all this information is available to go through. So if you're someone who has been affected or you might feel you might be affected, just keep that information to hand.
Just to be clear, now this is European laws and it's within Europe, flights that fly into Europe or out, is that right?
Yes, that's a very important statement to make, yes, because obviously you have to appreciate if there's connecting flights there outside of Europe, then you need to bear that in mind.
Is this Europe or EU? You know where I'm going with this. EU. So after Brexit, will this count?
Well, the laws subsequently clarified in favour of passengers by decision of the European Parliament, European Courts of Justice and UK Appeal Court.
Okay. So, all right then. All right. Fair enough. OK, so then please do claim compensation. We did a poll yesterday and very few people claim compensation when their flights are delayed. We're going to move away from this because there's one more story I want to ask you about and it's in the Sun this morning. We're constantly, aren't we, bombarded with these new scams that are doing the round, and this morning is no different, but this is relating to our computers and it's quite a horrible one. Hackers are taking control of them. Don't ask me how, I don't know, but I'm sure you've got a better idea than I do. They're demanding money to release control back to us. What's going on here?
Well, remote access can be a benefit, but also can be a curse. And this is how they are getting into your machine. So you will go online, you'll have a look to see if you can fix your printer error. Not everybody will do this, but some people do. They advertise a service to remotely log in and fix the error, but they don't. And by then it's too late. They have access to your entire computer and anything you have saved, including passwords.
Oh, my goodness me. How many people have been affected by this?
A lot of people. About 32,000 last year were affected by this scam. So it's just quite frightening, really, the amount of people that are falling for it.
So what is the advice then? What can you do not to get involved in this or not to get caught up?
Well, never, ever let anyone remotely access your machine if you're not sure. Go to the manufacturer's website to find the right contact details. they should walk you through the fix. It's very unlikely that they normally ask to remotely access your computer. This is very important because once you allow someone to get into your machine, they have access to everything.
Wow, that is that's quite a frightening thought. Will banks refund you in this circumstance?
It's highly unlikely because you've allowed someone to have your details. So if you were to go online and make a purchase with your credit card, you could then obviously have the money back if you had poor service or that wasn't quite the item that you had. But once you let someone into your actual bank account details, you then have to deal with your bank directly and try and explain what's happened. So the ideal choice is don't let anyone ever go into your computer.
Yeah, absolutely. Rachel, that sounds horribly frightening. I'm sorry to end on that note. Have a lovely day. Rachel Springle, personal finance expert at moneyfacts.co.uk. Pleasure as always. Thank you for joining us.